What did you think about that gospel lesson? I was sitting there next to Neo as we were hearing Melba read it. I think I've been both of those sons at one point or another. I will go and then didn't, and then no, I won't, and then do later. But you see, it's an interesting thing. The second son, in a lot of ways, he is the least respectful. But doing the Father's will is what's right. I mean, he says, I won't. Well, then he does. And the first son, he repents. He says, no, I won't, but then he does. Did I get him backwards? You know what I'm saying here. Regardless, vacillations, reactions, contemplations, misdirections, he does the Father's will. He does the Father's will. There's the bottom line. Now, as we hear this, the first time I read it, like many of you perhaps, I thought, I don't really understand why Jesus is telling this parable to his disciples. But he's not. He is talking to the chief priests and the elders. He is directing it to the leadership of the church. And so he explains it later. And he explains how, although the Hebrews have all along said, I will, I will, I will, they haven't connected with and opened their hearts to God and Jesus. But the ones who weren't faithful, the Gentiles, the outsiders, the ne'er-do-wells, that's all of us, right? The tax collectors and the prostitutes, they didn't, and yet now they come. And they are going to turn to Christ and do the Father's will. That scripture is to the chief priests and the elders, but it is to us as well, is it not? There are times when we say, yes, Lord, I will be loving to my neighbor. Grittingly through our teeth that are clamped together, we'll say, all right, I'll love them if I have to. And then we don't. But through grace, there are times when we say we won't. I can never forgive them, and yet through God's grace it happens. Amen. Amen. The epistle lesson with Paul, I want to jump across the street here for a moment. Paul is talking to the church in Philippi. Richard, have you been to Philippi?
No.
Would you go there and check on them and see how, you know, they're doing? Because Paul's checking up on them here. There seems to have been something going wrong. The church is at some kind of conflict is going on. We don't know. We don't know all the details, but there's some conflict, and he's trying to struggle and help them. What churches? Conflict? Whoever thought of such a thing? I have served. I was going to count. I forgot how many churches I have served over the years. I have yet to have found a church without some conflicts. But God is with us anyway. Conflict is a part of human nature. We'll get into that. We tend to be an unruly bunch, don't we? We just happen to have strong wills or something. Paul says to them, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. We understand what's happening there. We understand what he's saying. There's a theological stumble. You see, he says, work out your own salvation. That seems to say that we can figure it out for ourselves, that we can do something, that we can save ourselves. And theologically, we know that only by the grace of God are we saved. We know that we can't quite do it. We can walk a true path. We can do our very best, but it is by the grace of God that we are saved. Amen? It is by the grace of God that we are saved. Amen. Is Paul misspeaking? Or I wanted to dig into the translation a little bit, see if maybe there was a variance in the way it's said and the way he phrased it and whether it had other connotations. I didn't get a chance to do that. But he perhaps saying, work out your way to be as obedient as you can. Work out your way to be as clearly on the path as you can. Do God's work. Do God's will. Go out in the vineyard when you're called. Work out your own self in obedience. And in that, I think, we get this gist. But I love the next part the most. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Now, think about us today and think about our world around us and think about our nation. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility agree to regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Doesn't that just describe the United States? That's a joke. Doesn't that just describe humanity? Everyone agreeing with everyone, everyone being of the same mind and same love? Humility, what a term for us. Did you notice the cover of your bulletins? James is an artist, so we like to discuss art. I know this much, James knows, and I know just enough to get myself in trouble. This is by Vincent. You recognize the piece? This is called Red Vineyards. You see, I cited it there below the, and you see the workers out in the vineyard. Doesn't it fit brilliantly with this? You've heard of Vincent, haven't you? Vincent was mentally ill. And in fact, there are psych textbooks who show his paintings and show how they progressed over his life as his schizophrenia and his mental illness change and get more severe and get further. We see several of his works here, and Pia's just going to kind of scroll through those slowly as you're aware of those. Some of those are pretty straightforward, pretty simple. This one is my favorite, though, and is one of the most severe. It's reflecting how his schizophrenia has turned his perception. I love it because of the vividness of the colors, but he was seeing the world this way. And he gives us an insight into how it feels to be in that mental illness. Some disagree that it wasn't schizophrenia, that it was, in fact, manic depression. We can argue about that later. But Vincent was ill enough that he actually cut off his ear. He was severely impacted. You've noticed that I haven't said his last name yet. What do you think his last name is pronounced like? Yeah, I'm hearing some differences already. In Britain, well, here in the U.S., we usually say Van Gogh. In Britain, they call him Van Gogh, Vincent Van Gogh. He is from Dordrecht in Holland. You know, he's Dutch. And the correct pronunciation is Van Gogh. It's not quite that harsh a Gogh. It's a Van Gogh. Try that. Van Gogh. Van Gogh. Somebody walking into the sanctuary right now, we're all going, ha, ha. What's wrong? COVID's got him. So which one is right? Which one's wrong? Now we have something else to argue about. We can all disagree on how to pronounce Vincent's last name. I'm just going to stick with Vincent. We all kind of agree on that piece. We just go with that. Next week is coming up a national holiday, a federal holiday. What is the name of the federal holiday coming up? Yep, here we go again. Thank you. I could not get the word in my amen. National Indigenous Peoples Day, National Heritage Day, Columbus Day. We don't know for sure. And you know, the most interesting thing is you start discussing this and you'll see people starting to get their feathers ruffled up. You'll see people starting to get excited and start saying, well, this is right and this is wrong and this is this and this is that. And Be of the same, this is what Paul wrote, be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Look, each of you, not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Oh my goodness. It's not easy, is it? Those are two examples of things that we might disagree about, and those are simple things. Those aren't the hard things that we face in our life, in our structure, in our politics, in our nation around us. And so where are humility? Where and how are we to be about that? And it's hard. God was right when he called humans a stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked. Guilty, Lord, we are. Have your grace upon us. We tend to react first and then think later and then be compassionate later. And that comes naturally, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. If you're a gazelle in Africa, you want to react as soon as you see the lion and get on your high horse and get going. If you stop and think about it, whether or not to make friends with the lion or whether the lion's serious, it's probably too late. So out of natural response, quick reaction is built into us. But as humans now, children of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are called to rein in animal reaction. So in this Sunday, we're emphasizing humility. You haven't figured that out yet, I assume, but Scripture is telling us to be humble. Jesus is telling us to be humble. Jesus demonstrates his humility. God on earth, and yet allowing himself to be treated as the lowest of criminals. Only the scum of the earth were crucified. Only the very worst were crucified. Humility. So we are turning to follow. And that humility thing, we want to be a humble people before our Lord. And yet, we will, Lord. We will go out into the vineyard and we will work. Sometimes we don't. And honestly, we might think, I don't think I can be humble in some situations. I don't think I can hold my tongue. I don't think I can not speak my mind. And through the grace of God, sometimes we can. God grant that as we repent, that we can, and that we can turn and do God's will in the end. What do you think Jesus would say about the upcoming holiday? What words would he teach us? What bits of wisdom would we say about what we're going to call this holiday and how we're going to engage in this holiday? I thought some ideas. We should honor the indigenous people that were here and the explorers that reached out around the world and gathered a world that was scattered and grew us closer to one another, that grew God's people together. Acknowledging that in the midst of all that that happened, there were some good things that happened and some not good things that happened. Seeing both sides of that. Where there's pride in our heritage, we can also celebrate the pride in the heritage of our diversity, of God's diversity. I think that we are the most diverse district in the United Methodist Church. This church has parented Korean church, has parented, there's another denomination in there somewhere. At one point we had the Ghanaians, the Tongans, even some of us Wildcat Palangi, Caucasians. And we have that diversity of Hispanic, Latino, and we can live in the midst of that and be together in one place. God's diversity. Amen. Amen. So we can celebrate our diversity and our heritage and the indigenous ones all together. And we can pause as we need to do and say, where we have caused injury, we offer up our prayers and ask for forgiveness. Because that has happened. But more than anything else, we can turn to one another and say, come, let us join together at the table. Come. Come. Come.